if you are exiting the government school system and you're going into homeschooling or homeschool co-op, you may want to consider Kingdom Christian Academy. Academy, the word that means training up. And we're talking about training up kids in the way they should go. So if you get a chance, check out KCA. We have got a new website up as well. Check it out as soon as you get the opportunity. In fact, Travis is going to post that underneath the Facebook feed here. And I just want to talk about something before I get to the legacy of Dr. Stan Monty. There is a globalist cabal that is rearing its head, and it's not even, there's not even any pretense anymore. You cannot be a Democrat and say you love America anymore. And I'm sorry, but we're just going to be really blunt about this. And Christians are waking up to the fact that this is an attack on this country to try to destroy America. And this show, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story, the news behind the news, Dr. Stan brought this out years ago. He brought it all out, all of the globalist ties, the weirdness, the transhumanism. He was talking about this before anybody, and before anybody really even acknowledged that it could possibly be true. And now, here we are. And as one YouTube video said recently, we were right about everything. Now, you heard on this show several years ago about what was coming in 2020, before it happened, including headlines that were going to be placed and played in the media. And now we're coming into this fall of decision as the school year starts and as we see the plan unfold. Why are we acting without any sort of sense of urgency in some quarters? I'm not going to say all quarters, because some people are acting with a sense of urgency now, but my question to you is, are you acting with a sense of urgency today to the emergency that is about to unfold? We're going to go through a lot today, but it is so clear that we are on the cusp of something gigantic right now. And specifically that we're on the cusp of some kind of political warfare big event coming up here very soon. And I'm going to tell you why these things are coming together right now. And I'm also going to tell you what to look for and how to prepare. Even more than you already have. If you've been listening to this show, you're prepared. But even more than you already have. Our guest today is going to be John Guandola with Understanding the Threat. We're going to get into this too. That the timeline we're seeing looks like the end of September, early October, more likely early October, that China is going to attempt a reunification with Taiwan, forced. Now, as we talk about these things, it's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. And there are people in the Republican Party who are also wrong and who have actually done more damage because they have put on a mask like they were patriots protecting America, but really were not. And that's why in this time, our hope must not be in man. It must be in Jesus Christ. And we can't end in prayer. We must move to action. There is an attempt right now to make things even more political when it's not really, we need to make things more about morality, more about Jesus. We need to make things important that God thinks are important. When he's sharing our heart with us, what is important on his heart? That's how we need to be praying right now. We should be praying, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What is on your heart today? What is your priority today? And then doing that and not drifting off into all these distractions. Look, if you're still watching Netflix and binging on Netflix and watching TV right now, and you think everything's going to continue the way it always has, I'm sorry. There's going to come a point of reckoning where all the people that have been warned constantly are going to have the sudden realization that all those warnings were correct. Now, we don't warn for the purpose of instilling fear. We warn for the purpose of instilling action. And that's the gospel of the kingdom, Ephesians 2:19-22. So then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling or habitation of God in the Spirit. Now, I have so much information right now. We're not going to be able to get to all of it today, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to go onto my Twitter feed. I had to pick something, and it was the easiest to share different intelligence articles and articles that you need to just read or look at the headlines of. So when you kind of want to know what's going on and you haven't been able to listen to an episode, go onto the Twitter feed and you can get 90%, 95% caught up. What we're seeing right now is, as we have talked about, fourth generation warfare. Now from the front, your daily intelligence briefing on this issue. Fourth generation warfare, it means unrestricted warfare, or the idea that everything is a battlefield. Now, China, according to the New American, is enforcing new COVID-19 lockdowns for millions. Various large Chinese cities have intensified their draconian COVID-19 restrictions as of August 30th. As authorities step up efforts to limit the spread of COVID-19 prior to a major Chinese Communist Party meeting this year. Well, that meeting, interestingly enough, has been moved up to October. Many people believe the reason for that is because of the impending war. So we have 13 million in the adjacent port city of Tianjin, Beijing, and several other cities of millions of residents being locked down again. Why? Because they're cutting trade. They're using COVID for two reasons. One, to keep their own people under control because their housing market in China is collapsing right now. And they're not able to make payments, so the bank does not have the money to back up the accounts in the bank that millions of people are trying to access. So number one is to control their own people. Number two, they are trying right now to limit trade with the United States of America. Make it hard on the United States. So this is trade warfare. Now, they've been engaging in political warfare as well. I'm going to get to that here in a bit. But this is trade warfare. The next is manufacturing warfare and sabotage. Okay? So, for example, cheap Chinese products that fall apart continually. Some people have raised the specter that this is intentional. Well, it would fit with unrestricted warfare. Just like this would fit. It's interesting. There have been over 100 incidents at different food production facilities in the United States of America. And I keep hearing people say, oh, it's not the cause. It was an accident. So the fact that it happened in a 2-year period is a geostrategic event. It's irrelevant what caused it. However, it does fit into unrestricted warfare. Western Journal, commercial fire burns poultry factory, adds to the list of food processing fires this year. So a commercial fire burned a poultry processing plant in Montebello, California, which is just east of Los Angeles. So, well, that's interesting. Now, that video footage that Travis was just playing just a little bit about, it shows that there was damage near the building's windows and doors. It's interesting also that there's been strange electrical fires in some of these processing plants. Well, now they're actually investigating this. Which brings us to the next thing that's interesting. Energy emergencies declared. This is coming to us from Forbes. Energy emergencies declared after BP refinery fire in Indiana. What's going on in Indiana? Well, some strange electrical fire results in the governor's lifting restrictions. You got to hear this right now. Lifting restrictions and regulations in regards to the production and transportation of oil, which is refined at this Whiting facility, 435,000 barrels on an average day. The fire took place in the refinery's powerhouse and led to a loss of cooling water, which could potentially damage equipment. But the extent of the problems are reportedly limited to a small area of the facility. So this is going to result in higher gas prices. Now, some people are saying, oh, no, it's not. No, it's just supply and demand. This particular refining facility is key to the Midwest. Michigan and Wisconsin, Indiana, Illinois. So you're talking about the heartland of America dramatically impacted by this. Now, would it be regional price increases? Probably. But the fact that the restrictions are being lifted off and that makes production flourish should tell you something. Why are they putting restrictions on all of our energy right now under the guise of this global warming hoax? Climate has always changed and it always will. They're doing it to restrict production. Why would you do that right now to weaken America prior to a war? Which brings us now to a couple of things that have raised the ire of some people. We're going to talk about what President Trump has been doing. And we're going to talk about a perspective here. It doesn't matter if maybe you say, Trump was terrible. He did more for religious liberty than any president in modern history, period. And in addition to that, he clearly has exposed the darkness that has been trying to hide for all these years, and now everybody can see it for themselves. So we have right now, and I'm pulling up this Twitter feed. Of course, it's going to take a little bit longer than normal. We have a couple of things in China that I want to talk about. Coming to us from Open Source Intelligence, Taiwan says the governor of Arizona will visit August 30th to September 1st. Taiwan's military fired warning shots. Hear this right now. Warning shots at a Chinese drone as it approached an outlying island today. This is the first incident where China and Taiwan, where Taiwan in particular, has fired near a Chinese asset where there's been a clash. In addition to that, according to Open Source Intelligence, the United States is going to be providing aid. Biden is going to Congress to get approval for sending Harpoon-block missiles and Sidewinder tactical air-to-air missiles and new surveillance radar to Taiwan as soon as possible. In addition to that, and this is fascinating to me, people are now having to choose sides. I'm going to get back to the international front here in a second. But Glenn Beck tweeted about Rob Schneider, quote, "I don't care about my career anymore. I care about my children and the country they're going to live in," end quote. People are turning right now. And they're saying, we want America to continue. And all these people that have been ginning this stuff up, we want to come against it. Even Rob Schneider. Pay attention to that with Rob Schneider. Something big's coming out of that. From Indo-Pac News, the Biden administration plans to ask Congress to approve this estimated $1.1 billion arms sale to Taiwan. So that's $1.1 billion. Gordon Chang, repeated violation to Taiwan's sovereign airspace or acts of war. U.S. embassy staff were evacuated from the roof of the embassy building of the Green Zone in Iraq. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about this since we're moving to the Middle East now. It appears there is a war in the offing between Israel and Iran. Shia militias have been struck in Syria over the last few months by both the United States and Israel. Now, what is interesting, al-Sadr, who is a Shia cleric, resigned. Now, some people say he was forced out, but he resigned. Now, when we were there in Iraq in 2004, 2005, we had to deal with Muqtada al-Sadr. Now, he claims to be a descendant, a direct descendant of Muhammad. Al-Sadr has an army there in Iraq, and as soon as he resigned, boom, clashes in the green zone and total chaos. And he is used to ginning up violence, almost a civil war in Iraq whenever he wants to leverage it for a political position. But it seems like his political career ambitions have run out. I think this is because there is an alignment happening and Iran is on the wrong side as far as the Iraqi government is concerned right now and the Sunni majority there. This is going to be how this plays out is going to be absolutely fascinating. But it really is an indicator that war is in the offing in the Middle East. Now we're going to move to Russia. Now, this is probably one of the most important rumor tweets that has come out since it was rumored that North Korea was moving its tactical nuclear weapons to its frontline artillery units. Tactical nuclear weapons are for key military strikes. So in other words, it doesn't poison an entire area, but it's for taking out bases, etc. Now, open source intelligence has this. Rumors broke out Saturday regarding Russia moving, you guessed it, tactical nuclear missiles into the Crimea. At this time, there is no confirmation or clear indication of such an action being taken by Russia. Well, of course not, just like with North Korea. But generally speaking, when you hear these kind of things, this is not rumor. Somebody is intentionally making sure it leaks so that there can be people with cooler heads and also some people that love America weighing in on these issues. I want to jump back really quick because that brings us up to Euromaidan Press, which is interesting that on the same day that Ukraine launches an offensive in Kherson, and by the way, Russian troops are pulling back. There's multiple videos of this. Same time the Russians are saying they're moving tactical nuclear weapons to Crimea because they think they're going to lose Crimea with this new offensive. Fascinating times that we live in. Now, we're going to try to pull up here in a second some of the updated battle damage reports. But the bottom line is this continues to back up what we've been talking on this show for a long time. The Russians are losing badly. 60% of their armor. And I'm just being objective here. People, stop trying to inject your own narrative into this. The objective facts, 60% of Russian armor has been destroyed. Over one third of their armored personnel carriers have been destroyed. Almost two dozen of their ships have been destroyed. Multiple artillery units. Tens of thousands of soldiers, and these are all objective facts. They're now losing near Kherson, and you're going to see this offensive continue to go in. And as that happens, the Russians are going to feel, and particularly Vladimir Putin, like he's being backed up into a corner, which gives credence to the idea that they're going to deploy tactical nuclear weapons, or they already have, into Crimea. The other part of this is that the international community has really put forward an excuse to now weigh in because of the nuclear plant at Zaporizhzhia. So this, could, again, could spill really fast beyond the borders of Ukraine. All right, moving to the national front. FBI official accused of shutting down Hunter Biden probe resigns. Now, remember this. It was Russian disinformation. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was disinformation about the diary. Oh, no, it wasn't. So we've got Ashley's diary is real. Hunter Biden's laptop is real. Why isn't anybody being arrested right now? I've heard stories from some of the people that have reviewed what's on Hunter's laptop, and the really gross stuff hasn't even come out yet. Some people literally vomited when they saw some of the horrendous things on Hunter's laptop. Not to mention what we're going to talk about here in a few minutes about the connection to China. We are seeing corruption at its height. There's a man in the White House right now that is literally doing everything to embolden our enemies and weaken this country. And they're worried about moms at school board meetings. Can't be rational, because it's not rational. This is all part of a plan to weaken America, which is why now that two people were convicted of allegedly stealing Ashley Biden's diary, that they had to admit it was real. Otherwise, they could not have been convicted of the crime. So they had to admit it's real. So these passages, the very troubling passages in the diary, why are they not being investigated? In addition to that, Donald Trump came out with a very clear statement. And Travis, I want to see if we could get this pulled up on Twitter. So Donald Trump has said a couple things that are very interesting. Number one, Mitch McConnell needs to be removed. Number two, he's recognized the weakness of China, actually, and that the renminbi is weak right now because they're desperately short of it. And this is adding to the fire of the Chinese aggression toward Taiwan. But President Trump finally came out and said this. This is a quote. I'm going to read this whole thing. So now it comes out conclusively that the FBI buried the Hunter Biden laptop story before the election, knowing that if they didn't, Trump would have easily won the 2020 presidential election. That means an arm of the federal government. What he's saying, the FBI attempted to cover it up to influence the election, and the media was complicit in this. Quote, again, this is massive fraud and election interference at a level never seen before in our country. Remedy, declare the rightful winner, or, and this would be the minimal solution, declare the 2020 election irreparably compromised and have a new election immediately. Folks, this is bombshell stuff. The Hunter Biden laptop story was real. Trump was right. Everyone who was there on January 6th protesting the outcome of the election was right. Mike Pence was wrong. This is corruption at the highest levels of government here in the United States of America, and it's admitted now. Admitted. President Trump is just saying, hey, then if the election wasn't legitimate because of these issues, what's the remedy? And it's the right question to ask. What is the remedy? Never before have we faced crises like this. And again, I submit to you that it's intentional. Coming to us on the regional front, from the Daily Caller. Washington School Board unanimously bans CRT from the classroom. The Kennewick School Board, thank you, Tri-Cities, voted 5-0 on a policy which bans educators from teaching students CRT or that their race determines their value or worth. The policy requires that students learn factual U.S. history in all disciplines of school. Hats off to the school board in Kennewick, Washington. Now, will other school boards in Eastern Washington, the future Liberty State, follow suit? I challenge school board members that are listening to Patriot Radio today here in Spokane County, Washington. Will you follow suit? Will you vote to ban the subversive, anti-American, anti-Christian ideology that has been put forward by people who want to destroy this country? Will you ban it? Will you vote to do it? Will you do the right thing? Now, I'm going to end today by reminding you of some upcoming events. Coming up here, 8, 9, 10 September, Dr. Emmanuel Ziga, his leadership conference at the Spokane Convention Center, starts on Thursday morning with the community leaders breakfast. So if you know a community leader that should be there. And then that night, Andre Shapoval is going to be at the convention center as part of the conference, and it continues Friday and then Saturday morning. For more information, you can go to gfanmi.org or go to Grace for All Nations Ministry International on Facebook, and you can sign up there. The week after that, the Reawaken America Tour with Clay Clark is coming here to Spokane, Washington, well, actually to the state line, Speedway. Again, it's going to be the 16th and 17th only. So yours truly is speaking on the 17th at 5:15 in the evening out there at the Speedway. Look forward to seeing everybody there. I think at the last count, they had only 800 tickets out of 5,000 left. Make sure you go and purchase those tickets as soon as possible. One thing I will tell you is you need to call. It's the quickest way to make it happen. Also coming up here on October 29th at Valley Assembly, Charlie Kirk is going to be here in Spokane, Washington. So mark that on your calendars. I believe it's going to start at 4 o'clock, but mark it on your calendars. Make sure that you show up for that great event. Now, it was finally revealed yesterday, and we just say congratulations to Charlie and Erica. They had their first baby yesterday. Congratulations, you two. That's awesome. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And make sure you go to the real social media outlets like Gab, Getter, MeWe, Parler, True Social, Clout Hub. We're on all of those. And if you miss a show, there's a replay every night, 9 to 10 o'clock on the ACN network that we're broadcasting. So Tuesday and Thursday, 9 to 10 o'clock, we're replayed. And then we're also replayed on the weekends as well. Travis is going to put the schedule up here soon on the feed. And if you miss that, you can also go to Podbean, iTunes, Amazon, and Spotify and catch up on any old episodes. All right, it is my pleasure to introduce today one of my favorite people in the world, a fighter par excellence, John Guandolo, president of Understanding the Threat. He's the author of a new book, Islam's Deception, The Truth About Sharia. He's a counterterrorism expert, former FBI agent, and a freedom fighter that does not ever give up. John, it's great to have you back on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and great to be on again with you, Matt.
So, wow. I want to start with a couple things. Before we get into Biden's ties with China, the first is the jihadi attacks appear to be increasing in America right now. And I want you just to comment on that because it's kind of been swept under the rug. They try to make it almost like these are like relational attacks or something, but it seems to be increasing here in America, but also in Europe as well. If you could comment on that first.
Right. Well, I think, first of all, it's important to frame this discussion by understanding that the global communist movement is working with the global jihadi movement, the global Islamic movement. And that is true here in the United States at the national level and all the way down to the local level. So for your listeners and viewers, where you have one or the other of these communities, they are in fact working together. And so I think that's important. And I think it opens up a lot broader discussion. But what we are seeing is a lot of jihad going on in Europe and the United States, and quite frankly, in Canada as well, North America, in Europe. And what I would just share with your viewers and listeners is that, you know, the communists, their framework for the war they're waging on the West is Mao's political warfare model. For the Islamic movement, it's civilization jihad, which is total warfare. And I think it's really important to understand, and you were hinting at it even in your question, is that sometimes law enforcement and citizens and local elected officials and state officials mistake something that appears to them to be just violence or something that's just part of normal day, everyday life, when in fact these are acts of jihad. And so we are seeing an uptick of that. So it's not just the stabbing of guys like Salman Rushdie, or the killing of literally thousands of Christians in Nigeria. But it's more than that. It's fathers killing their daughters. We just had a trial here in Texas where a guy who killed his two daughters was found guilty. And of course, he was hiding out in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for years in the Muslim community, and nobody turned him in. And these are things that no one in law enforcement in Dallas or Fort Worth are asking. Like, why? Why wouldn't they turn this guy in? And nothing being investigated. So I think it's important to understand, number one, that these two, the communist Islamic movements, are working together, that both movements were seeing an uptick, significant uptick in activity. And it's not only happening at the international level, it's happening at the local level as well.
The other thing that's happening recently is we're seeing what appears to be some sort of shaping operations by really trying to hammer home the narrative of Christian nationalists or white nationalists or domestic terrorists. Now everybody's a domestic terrorist. Now, we talked about this several years ago, that they would eventually try to label every patriot and every Christian a domestic terrorist. We're seeing that, though, happening right now. It's almost like a shaping operation, like something really big is about to happen. And this is kind of the final narrative drive that they're trying to do. I'd like you to comment on that as well.
Right. So that is a really, I think, a very important question and a great question, because you have the President of the United States in the last few months saying that the MAGA movement is the most dangerous political movement in American history. You have the Attorney General of the United States echoing that. You have a year ago, the President of the United States saying white supremacists are the most lethal threat in America. And then, of course, they dub all people who are part of the MAGA movement, who are patriots, who believe in things like flying the Gadsden flag or the Betsy Ross flag, as white supremacists. And so what I think is the single most important thing for people to understand is, when the Attorney General and the President of the United States, or the guy sitting in the Oval Office with the authority of that office, say things like that, then you should expect the full authority of the federal government to come down on you. That's exactly what we're seeing, to the point that they, you know, raided the home of a former president of the United States. And if that is not a huge shot across the bow for every patriot, I'm not sure what else is.
Which brings us now to, it really appears that we're on a timeline towards some sort of war. I don't know how big it's going to be globally, but it really appears we're on a trajectory for that. And what is fascinating to me, and what is, I think has the attention of a lot of Americans and is waking them up, is that the pretender in the White House right now is doing everything he possibly can to embolden our enemies and weaken not only our country, but especially our military. And so we have to ask the question, why did they cover up or the ties Joe Biden and his son have with China? And what is the implication of that for us as America?
So another solid question, and I think the question answers itself. When we consider that, in fact, everything we're experiencing in the United States right now is the intentional outcome of the cabal that we are up against, which is the communist movement, the jihadi movement, their collaborators, and their financiers. I think that is really key to understand that what do they want to do? They want to overthrow the United States government. They are working diligently to do that at all levels, at the international level, at the national level, at the state level, and at the local level. And there is an identifiable movement, both the communist movement, the jihadi movement, identifiable collaborators, identifiable financiers from all areas, as well as foreign nation states that are joined together with this cabal. So the reason that we're seeing these things, to answer the question, is because that's the outcome they intend. They intend to destabilize the United States by creating an economic collapse, by allowing our enemies to pursue economic and financial warfare against the United States, to flood our ports of entry, not just our southern border, but our northern border, our ports of entry, with people who are unlawfully in the United States, and then use taxpayer dollars to pay for these people to be put in communities across the United States, paying them to for food and housing and transportation and phones. And they know that there's a percentage of these people that are hostile. So everything they're doing is intentional. And I think from my perspective, that is the most difficult part for patriotic citizens to digest, is that that's exactly what these people, what our adversaries are doing. And because our adversaries includes the Democrat Party and their national leadership, the national leadership of the RNC and the GOP, and quite frankly, many state and local GOP chapters. I will tell you, of the people we work with around the country, the communities that we're training, I would say, and this is a rough guess, but 85% of them will tell you the biggest friction that they get is from the local GOP, the county GOP, is who's given them the biggest friction.
So right now, let's dive into this. What are Joe's connections to China? And let's go through some of the detail of this, if you can explain it a little bit for the listener.
Well, I think, first of all, you've got to look at just what he has done. So let me back out. Let's look at the key issues in the U.S. government right now, just in general, and then go to Mr. Biden. We have at least right now 6 dozen members of Congress who are easily identifiable as communists and working with the national and, in many cases, the international communist movement. You have James Comey, who in 2003 admitted in a New York Magazine article that he was a communist, that he wasn't sure where he was politically. And that's the guy that got elevated from where he was to the Deputy Attorney General. And then later, even though this was public, to become the FBI director. And so for citizens, they need to understand what that means, how corrupt our federal system is, that in 2003, it would elevate a self-proclaimed communist to be the Deputy Attorney General of the United States and then the FBI Director. You've got recently, at the beginning of the year, end of January, the report, and I believe the first people to report it were Breitbart, that we have at least 23 former members of the House and Senate in the United States who are working directly for companies that directly support the Chinese military and the Chinese intelligence community. And no charges. And of course, you're not going to get any because the Department of Justice is controlled by our adversaries. So that's just the beginning. So that's setting the table to then talk about Mr. Biden and the business dealings, not just with Ukraine. And remember, the people behind the very much behind the quote Russia collusion and going after Mr. Trump back in 2015 and 16, because it was being generated in 2015. And of course, in 2016, that was government officials and government entities in the Ukraine who were working directly with Mr. Biden and his son Hunter. And then you tie the Chinese ties back into Mr. Biden, and not just business dealings, but the things that Mr. Biden is doing and the the things the Chinese, for instance, are doing in the United States with setting, buying property and setting up cell towers with no DOJ interference and the DOJ, no interference from them. Large swaths of land, like right here in Texas, where they're trying to do all kinds of things under the guise of, you know, energy efficient power. And what they're actually doing is try to control not only land, but telecommunications and other kind of things. So these are just things domestically, not to mention the at least hundreds of millions of dollars worth of financing that's being exchanged.
It's incredible to even think about this. And then you have members of the Chinese, known members of the Chinese intelligence community with direct access to the man in the White House, his son, and other people. And it's like it has never happened. Like it didn't happen. And yet it is without question that it has happened. And so we have to ask ourselves, what do we do next? And we're seeing this compromise, not just in the White House. We're seeing this compromise in the church as well with the interfaith movement. They're attempting to corrupt the church, even at the local level, the bastion of morality that is supposed to be pushing back the darkness and pushing back against some of these things. They're trying to corrupt that as well. And so I'd like you to comment on that. And then let's get into what we can do to stand up and preserve this republic.
Well, I think the answer to both of those questions is similar. Our shepherds in the Christian churches, and you and I have had discussions about this, I would say the majority, meaning over 50%, are failing at their duties as shepherds. When you let wolves into the flock, and tell the flock it's just another sheep, you're not a good shepherd, and you should be tossed out. And I think the flock has a right to expect that their shepherd will be a good shepherd. Like Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice. And in fact, we have a lot of shepherds or people that are standing in steads of shepherd that are bad shepherds. So I'd like to talk about this because just today I put out a very short article, just a picture of the leader of the Muslim World League, which is the first international Muslim Brotherhood organization formed in Saudi Arabia back in the 60s, and is an organization that is a terrorist organization that works with and funds Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations around the world. And those the statement of facts of those, in my article, I actually just link a few different sources that go into much greater detail about the Muslim world. But here's this forum, and this forum is with, you know, groups like the World Council of Churches and major Christians, as well as, you know, the World Health Organization. And their keynote speaker is Mohammed Al-Issa, the international head of the Muslim World League. But the Muslim World League and Saudi Arabia and the World Economic Forum are working with guys like, who call themselves Christians, like Sam Brownback. And a guy at the center of it is a pastor here in Dallas called Bob Roberts Jr. And these people are up to their eyeballs with jihadis and communists and globalists. And this gets me to my point, is the tip of the spear of this cabal's effort is the interfaith outreach. And so you have a lot of pastors swimming in this sewage that I call sewage of the interfaith outreach movement in the United States, thinking that they're doing it so that everyone will like them instead of doing their job as a good shepherd. And I think it's this is really important to say. The interfaith outreach in the United States was founded by the communists. Saul Alinsky, who created the Industrial Areas Foundation, created the interfaith movement in the United States. Saul Alinsky, of course, the author, and you've talked about this on your show, of Rules for Radicals, a book on Marxist revolutionary ideology dedicated to Lucifer. And so the interfaith outreach was originally created by the communists. Then the Muslim Brotherhood, in the form of the Islamic Society of North America, Hamas doing business as the Council on American Islamic Relations, and the Strategy Center for the Muslim Brotherhood in North America and beyond, the International Institute for Islamic Thought, now control the U.S. interfaith outreach. So any pastor participating in interfaith outreach is being subverted, and so are their churches. And for those pastors out there watching this who say, well, I'm smarter than that, and they're not subverting me, I would say you are a fool. You're a fool to think that you can do battle in a plane where they outgun you. It's 10,000 to one, no matter how well prepared you think you are. When you step into their arena on their battle stage with all of their players around in a room full of Christians that are batting on their team, and you think you're going to step in and defeat them, I just think that's as foolish as it gets. So I think that's the answer to both questions as far as, so the recognition of where we are. That is why of the three principles of victory in this war, one of the three, the first two are speak truth boldly. Citizens should obey the law and the police should enforce the law. But the third, and I believe the most important, is you must reestablish the founding principles in a Republican form of government at the county level in every county in America. And to your second question, which I believe is directly related, what do you do? I mean, that's why, as you know, that's why we exist. That's why understanding the threat exists, is to train communities. We just did this week here in Texas, did it last week in another state. And here we are training communities to identify the participants in this cabal in their local community, how to lawfully, but, you know, aggressively and forcefully if needed, but lawfully flush the individuals and the organizations out of your community, reestablish a Republican form of government, founding principles at the county level, and thereby fortifying your county. Now you have a base from which to work, get adjacent counties fortified, and that's how you take back your state. And that's how you take back the nation. What people need to understand is if that sounds like work, it is. There's no magic bullet in this war. And a red wave will not save this country. The next right guy in the Oval Office is not going to save this country. Citizens deciding they must engage at the local level, who understand the threat and how they operate, where they are in the community, so they can go after them. We establish a Republican form of government at the county level. It's the only way we're going to win this war.
Just to give you a couple of points here that I would like you to expand on. Just in the local level, you can have a sheriff and you can have a county prosecutor that can start breaking these networks up at the local level. Muslim Brotherhood networks. Maybe the Muslim Brotherhood owns the mosque in your area and you don't even know that. Maybe you have a Socialist Rifle Association chapter in your area and you don't even know that. And if you have savvy law enforcement officers and you have a savvy prosecutor, a lot of these networks can be disrupted just at the local level. You don't have to have a big fancy federal trial or something like that. This can be done at the local level.
That is right. And the interesting thing is there are some states in the United States that have state level, like conspiracy at the state level. It's a state felony to conspire to overthrow the state government. And there are a number of states, let's see, Texas and Kansas are two that come to mind right away, that have state sedition laws. And those can be used. But even less than that, there are many county and state laws that you can use to push up against these people. And the other thing is, we have trained a number of jurisdictions and a number of communities where the local prosecutors and local law enforcement went through the training as well as the citizens. And when they identify some of these groups and the community comes together, they just say, no, we understand who you are. You're out. And they, you know, we're going to sue you. They're like, sue us. And we're going to lay out in court who you are and why we said no, why you're a danger to our community. And that's what it takes. And it takes, honestly, and Matt, because you are a courageous leader, you know this. I mean, it just takes pretty minimal level of courage to just say, no, we're not doing that. We're standing together here as a community, and you're not welcome here. And this kind of goes back to what I just said about, the shepherd defending their flock. There might be, I doubt your audience, but I know there's some people that when you say something about telling people they're not welcome, they're not welcome. A wolf is not welcome in the sheep's den. They're not welcome. In the pasture, they're not welcome. That's why you have a shepherd, to kill the wolf, or to at least beat it in its head and get it out of the pasture. And this is not rocket science. We have people that are in charge at the county level, at the state level, at the national level, the federal level, that are, one, unprofessional, cowardly, nefarious, would rather keep their head down, which again makes them, I think, nefarious or at least unprofessional, which means they're criminally negligent. But I think it just takes knowledge of who they are, training to understand what you can do, and just a minimal amount of courage. We just had Major with what just happened in Oklahoma a couple weeks ago when they did the elections. We had one election where a full-blown communist running against a veteran who was an attorney for the military, a patriot, and it was a head-to-head race. And these folks brought us in. They went through the two-day into-action training, and they spent literally 2.5 weeks doing targeted attacks on this communist. Really a focused effort, and we showed them how to do it strategically. And the guy got blasted out of the water. It was awesome.
Awesome.
And but it's not all about elections. It's not all about that. But these are things that can be done to push our adversaries out of our county. And honestly, people, you got to spend 95% or more of your time and effort at the county level and nowhere else right now. Just
I
our
completely
thoughts. Strategically,
agree.
It's the only way to. That's it.
Yeah, completely agree. We got about 30 seconds left. So, John, in the last 30 seconds that we have, where can people go to get more information and maybe bring into action to their area?
So I encourage you to go to understandingthethreat.com, understandingthethreat.com. On our main page, click on the into action bar, shows you where we have upcoming into action programs, and or just contact us via the contact page and then say, we want you to bring this program. It's the only program like it in the West. We're the only ones doing it. UnderstandingTheThreat.com. Join us in this fight to put freedom back on the offensive where it belongs. And thanks for all you and your team are doing, Matt. God bless y'all.
Hey, God bless you too, John. Thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Really appreciate you. Look forward to seeing you soon. Keep up the fight.
Thank you. You too, brother. God bless.
John Guandolo, President, Understanding the Threat, UnderstandingTheThreat.com. Hang on just a second. Understanding, right here, UnderstandingTheThreat.com. Into Action is where it's at the county level, bringing to bear patriotic Americans to drive back the darkness. And it can be done at the county level. We don't have to have anything fancy. It can be done at the county level. The question is, are you willing to organize? Are you willing to do this in your area and push back this onslaught of communists and jihadists and globalists that are trying to destroy this country? That's what it's going to take. No longer can people just sit back and hope for another election that's going to solve it. It's going to be solved by all of us as Americans standing up right now. All of us as Christians standing up right now, putting Jesus back at the center of our lives so that he is back at the center of our country and coming against the evil that is trying to wreck America. And the whole world right now is watching. What are you going to do in this hour? This is Matt Shea. Thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. And God bless all of you. And he is making this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.